Now, before we talk about anything else, we gotta give some love to our sponsor for today's episode, and that is Lumify. Don't you just love when someone looks at you and says, "What were you up to last night?" Well, no matter how late you were up the night before, Lumify Redness Reliever Eye Drops can help your eyes look more refreshed and awake. Lumify dramatically reduces redness in just 1 minute to help your eyes look brighter and whiter for up to 8 hours. No wonder it has over 6,000 five-star reviews on Amazon. You won't believe your eyes. You know you can trust them, though, because they're made by the eye care experts at Bausch and Lomb, and they're backed by 6 clinical studies. Eye doctors trust them, too. They're the number one recommended redness reliever eye drop. The one and only Lumify is an amazing drop that will have people saying, "Something's different about you," in the best way possible. So check out LumifyEyes.com to learn more. That's LumifyEyes.com. Thank you so much, Lumify, for sponsoring this week's episode of the podcast. We love you here at Psychobabble. Now back to the gossip. Hi everyone, my name is Tyler Oakley, and you are listening to Psychobabble, an unfiltered half hour of gossip sessions, pop culture scrutiny, and stories we've never told in videos. It's not just crazy talk, it's Psychobabble. This week we discuss Diva Down, George Santos edition, our final thoughts on Drag Race UK Season 5, the most shocking appearances on our Spotify Wrapped, and the contestant controversies of the Squid Game Challenge. Subscribe anywhere you listen to podcasts and join our exclusive Psychobabble community at patreon.com/psychobabble. If you're not on our Discord, you're only getting half the babble. Good morning to all of the people of Earth.
I don't understand why only Earthlings get your good mornings.
I'm sorry, but there currently that is the, you know, I would say 99.99999% of our listeners.
Did you get any Cyber Monday sales?
Pass.
Did you get any Black Friday sales?
Pass. No, I didn't, because you know what? They just aren't selling things like they used to. Capitalism has gone down the shithole. Anybody saying that they found any deal, there is no deal that they'll offer you that they won't still make profit from. So let's unpack that. Even the best deal is ripping us off.
There's no such thing as a free lunch, baby.
You know what? My seventh grade teacher was always saying that. And it's like, okay, get a curriculum. Don't just sit there and say that over and over. Teach me how to George Douglas. Teach. Speaking of Georges.
Well, speaking of George. Cyber Monday deals, I got a really, what I was thinking about, because you said good morning, Earthlings. I used to have a Marvin the Martian alarm clock that was
Of course, for Alien Alley.
It was an Alien Alley. It was so fucking loud. It was like a heart attack inducing wake up in the morning, and it would pop. It was a little Marvin the Martian, and he would pop out of a planet like a Jack in the Box.
Terrifying. Okay.
And it would just start screaming, "Wake up, Earthling. You haven't got all light year."
You know what? I feel like you say, "Wake up, Earthling."
Well, maybe I do, but so when you said good morning, Earthlings, it reminded me of the cute Marvin the Martian t-shirt I bought myself on Cyber Monday.
You bought one.
Yes.
I was just wearing on maybe, I don't know what day, one of the days this weekend, possibly Saturday, maybe Sunday, maybe Friday. Recently, I wore this shirt, okay? Doesn't matter what day I wore it, but I wore a shirt that I recently bought. It's a big tweet. I have a Tweety
Bird shirt. You wore a shirt that you recently bought.
Yes. Oh, you know what? Actually, I forget who's on it. It's in my... Because at first I thought it was Tweety Bird, but that's a different shirt that I'm thinking of. I love my Tweety Bird shirt.
I love your Tweety Bird shirt.
No, I have a different one. Who's on it?
It's really such a shame that I have such a long built torso.
Hold on. I have to go to my laundry and I see who's on the shirt. You talk to the people.
I'll tell everyone about how I have a long, slender torso. that's not gonna fit Tyler's Tweety Bird shirt. So the first time I saw, oh my God, I have to sneeze. And usually if I have to sneeze, he can talk while I sneeze. But now here I am talking and having to sneeze. Oh God, life's so hard. So the first time I saw Tyler's Tweety Bird shirt, I think was at Coachella, and he brought it for one of his festival.
This can't be how you're vamping.
Yeah, that's Donald the Duck.
I love this shirt. Isn't this so cute?
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
Why was there a pause?
So, because Donald Duck, you know how Donald Duck wears a shirt but no pants?
Yeah.
My old roommate used to always walk around the house in just a shirt with no pants, and he would wear
underwear
yes, underwear. Okay. But he wore like the brief cut, is that what they call it? He wore brief cut, so you couldn't even see little like parts of the underwear, like, because I wear trunk briefs or boxer briefs, whatever, and so you can see a little part of it on my thighs. But like, he was just Donald Ducking, walking around the house with a shirt and no shirt. No
Donald
shirt,
Ducking no shirt. Is no underwear.
Donald Ducking is a shirt with no pants. I don't know. Maybe he didn't have underwear on.
Okay, I have a more pressing thing to discuss.
Well, I don't think I was done telling him about how I was vamping about your Tweety Bird shirt that I saw.
I heard all of it. I still had my headphones in the whole time.
And you weren't even a little worried about the sneeze I had.
I was concerned about the sneeze. I thought, damn, he's really got a... I was hoping you would sneeze. I thought, you know, give the people something new.
You wanted the... chew-ooh-la-la sensation.
Well, from time to time. If you have to sneeze, you have to sneeze. There's no, like, it's your body expelling. Your body's... It's like when you have to puke, you have to puke. Mm-hmm. When you have to sneeze, you have to sneeze. When you have to diarrhea, you got a diarrhea. You can't hold it in. It's not going to settle.
I was reading about how when you have to sneeze, they say look at something green because it'll help stifle the sneeze. And if you want to get the sneeze out, look at the light.
They just say things.
Did you read
it in a study?
I read it in an article.
read an article about it.
What? I always say that. What do you say?
And I've always said that.
And I've always said that. Hey, if you had to do a Spotify Wrapped of our top five sayings of the year on the pod.
pass. Pass might be one of mine.
Wow. I can't believe you are so no and this
way. Let me tell you, I've been trying to say a topic 10,000 times.
Honey, I clicked your live and I didn't love any of the topics.
I went live on TikTok before this and I got banned during the TikTok live because somebody called me faggot and I read it out loud.
Why did you read it?
I guess victim blaming is the way to go. You're right. Speaking of victim blaming, George Santos, diva down. It's okay. Over.
No, well, it's not. It should be over, but it's not, because you know why?
Because he's about to go on Dancing with the Stars, probably.
Honey, I thought for sure I would almost be more okay with him going on Masked Singer or Dancing with the Stars. But Z-Way was saying she wants to interview him for a pay-per-view sort of shit.
I saw that. So somebody was tweeting a Z-Way George Santos interview would be iconic, and then she quote tweeted it and said, and like was trying to make it happen, and then he replied to it, and I think it's happening.
I think that's why. Why are we giving a grifter? He already stole all this money, all our tax dollars. He's a liar and a fraud.
Well, for the lulls, I guess.
What's so lull anymore? He lied about being Jewish. He lied about his mom dying in 9/11.
Oh.
He lied about using donor money on OnlyFans. Why are we giving this person... I also have a lot of questions.
I don't know.
My questions are, does he get... I read an article early on that said the whole reason he ever wanted to be elected was because that they get like fat or retirement shit.
Yeah, but
do you still get all that?
If you get expelled, I don't know if you do.
Well, he better not. I don't know.
I guess I'm before we're about to like platform him and continue his like profitability margins, I am just curious, like what were his like, what's his voting record? Like, did he actually use his platform and his
No, I mean
to say, like, did he use his time in with power to vote against the rights of people, or like, yes. did he actually I feel like he was in Congress for like a month. Like, did he ever do anything? I only remember him like, remember when he was carrying a baby and nobody knew whose baby it was?
No.
Diva down.
No. I'm done talking about him, and I don't want him on Z-Way, and I don't think you all should be spending your money to watch it.
Oh, definitely not for him to profit off of. I see that today he joined Cameo, and within the first hour of being on Cameo, he doubled the price of his cameos. So clearly people are ordering. He started at $75 and now he's $150. I feel like certainly there's other people to
support.
Spend your money on, I guess.
I'll get you a
aren't
cameo.
Aren't we in a recession?
I'll get you a cameo for much less than that.
Yeah, it feels a little weird. It feels a little, I don't know. I don't like it.
It's not for me.
It's not for me, but I do find, but let me just say this. I do find the humor of the entire situation America is in, like, of course, we live in a world where George Santos is in and out of Congress with all of these like scandals and controversies. We were a country that elected Donald Trump president. So like, it's all downhill from here. And the spectacle and charade, people are not trying to hide it anymore. The spectacle and the charade of the celebrity factor of politics and the shenanigans of politics, and I don't know.
People are all like the hill, more the like hill. The downhill,
the diva downhill, boots.
No, I won't be watching him on Z-Way. No, save okay. Your coins.
Okay, sure.
Good luck to her.
More importantly, Subway has a foot long cookie.
I'll try it.
So, but like, you know how they got a foot long. Whatever happened to the $5 foot long? $6 now.
You
inflation.
Know, you know I can't get over that Subway stink.
What? Oh, the bread?
I can't even walk by a Subway. The Subway stink gets me every time. A triggering experience.
I'm sorry. Well, you know, I will eat the cookie.
I would try it.
I like their cookies, 3 for $1 or something, maybe. I don't know what the price is.
Remember when they had the little stamps and you had to lick it? And you
no.
Felt
yes, it? Yes.
Oh, okay, so what's the truth?
Yeah, I remember now. I remember.
Yeah, they gave you those little stamps. You got like, fill it up.
Kids five, these days, they don't know.
10 or 12 of them got you a free foot long.
Yeah, well, I'm not doing all that, but like, I think I would have a foot long cookie.
Well, babe, Subway was the first place that I learned you could just eat pepperoni by itself and it didn't have to come on a pizza. I'll give Subway what they got come and do, which is thank you for that.
I feel like I saw a TikTok or something of somebody going in. You can get a loaf of bread from Subway for $1.
That's not
a bad thing to know. Sometimes a loaf of bread will save your life.
I thought we weren't allowed to
my impression
it.
Of Aladdin. You know, street rat.
He didn't have $1.
He didn't have a loaf of bread.
No, he was always stealing it.
What was happening with that snatch game of Robin Williams on Drag Race UK? I need to talk about it. I need a safe space to talk about it. Was he purposely being Robin Williams, or was he just making noises?
I think Tamara Thomas's entire personality is just making noises. And
I finished Drag Race UK. Can we talk about it?
Yeah, I'm done, baby. I can't believe.
Actually, we're going to talk about Drag Race UK at the end of the episode. So stick around because so that if anybody hasn't watched it yet or seen the spoilers will be at the end of this episode. We have other things to discuss first. We're gonna circle back.
Okay.
When was the last time you circled back?
I'm not big into circle back because I think it's like dumb marketing job lingo that people just make up to eat each other's asses. They're all like, KPI, circle back.
What is KPI?
You don't want to know.
Keep you pushing it. Know. Keep pushing it. You better KPI. You better keep pushing it, baby.
They're all like, we better circle back. No.
Was Gonzo having a moment in the New York Times?
Well, Gonzo had a moment in the NYT Mini Henny.
What was the clue?
It was all long-nosed bitch-ass Muppet.
Oh, easy. Gonzo.
I don't remember what the clue was, but Gonzo was the answer in the NYT Mini a few days ago.
I saw a Psychobabble listener, Zoe, tweeted both of us.
You don't do the MIT Mini?
Honey, no.
So here I am.
Honey.
My alarm set for 5 a.m. I wake up at 4:55 naturally, of course.
This is your day? You're telling me about your day?
Because I'm still triggered from my Marvin the Martian alarm clock in high school. So I start with the Wordle. Then this is NYT Wordle. Then
is this every day of your life?
Yes, honey.
Are you serious? You wake up at 5 a.m. every day?
On the weekends, I sleep in, and I'm usually up by 6. Okay. I try to sleep in, and then my body's all, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up.
Okay.
So any morning I wake up, I Wordle, then I do the NYT Connections, then I do the NYT Mini. And lately, I've been doing the full Washington Post crossword puzzle during the
week. Are you smart? Hold on. You can do a crossword puzzle?
Yeah. Well,
you know things like answers.
Oh my God. I'm so good at the crossword. Yeah. I feel very smart lately.
Okay. Well, work.
You know I've been reading.
Okay.
So then when I get home from the gym, then I shower and I make a little breakfast and then I read.
How do you make time for Squid Game the Challenge?
Oh my God. Well, there's only one episode left and I am ready for it. Let's discuss.
I've watched the first episode. I told you that. I feel like
you
I told
said
you.
You were too anxiety.
It was too anxiety. So like I haven't returned to it, but should I?
You only made it through red light, green light?
Yeah, and it was too much.
Okay, do you want to give me 1 minute to have a little soapbox?
Go for it.
All right. I feel as though in my lifetime there have been many of reality TV shows that have come and tried and failed and had a lot of notes. And I just really feel like this show has been delivering everything I want it to. I've had very little, almost, I think I've had like no notes. I thought all the challenges were great. All the twists were great. The editing was great.
Have the challenges been true to the source material?
Yes. And they've done some to like mix it up and they've added some other things. And for them to do a reality game show competition series where it's starting with 456 people, which is insane. Like most of those shows start with, I think on a high end would be like 30. So imagine casting 456 people. Obviously, we're not going to get to see everybody. We're not going to get to hear stories or confessionals from a vast majority of people. But the editing, I thought, has been great. The pacing has been great. The way they build characters to have these little arcs for just like a couple of episodes are great. It's been like a 10 out of 10, and I am genuinely sad that it's going to be over this week, but I'm also very excited to watch the finale.
Well, I saw tons of people who were on the show complaining about the conditions of the show.
I saw that too, and here's my question to you. Well, here's my thought. I saw a TikTok and two different interviews with people who participated in the first game. All three of them said that the game was a different time in length. So,
nobody has clocks or watches, so everyone has a different perception of time.
Yeah, I just feel like if you had asked you and I at the end of like an Amazing Race day when we filmed and they were like, "Hey, how long did that just take you all day?" I don't feel like
you would say 4 hours and I would say 9 hours. So like do you not understand that that's what's going to happen with 400 people?
Exactly. And my point is like anybody who's complaining, nobody's going to underestimate if they're complaining or exaggerating a story. It's always going to be extended, you know, like Sorry, okay. It's just the way it is. They're going to make it sound like it was the worst experience of their life so they can get sympathy or money from Netflix, whatever have you.
Victim blaming, I see. Okay, so there's a theme here today for you.
So, yeah.
You're just sucking up because you want to go on season two.
I would. Honey, I would be there.
We get it. We know.
They had a girl from Survivor, she was an early boot on Survivor, but I saw her in a couple of the episodes.
Yeah, there were a lot of familiar faces, a lot of like notable TikTok people or like people I've recognized from Twitter or I don't know. Like did you see the redhead gay? You know who I'm talking about when I say that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did you see him on Twitter?
I saw him
doing photo shoots themed of each episode for when it aired and stuff. And like, it's like he, you know, on when somebody does, when somebody's episode of Drag Race airs and they like post the photo shoot picture of the look. That's what he was doing for like the, I was like, okay, is this, did you make this? Did you commission this? Is this a fan edit? What's going on?
Camp. My only complaint. Actually, is that this would have been our best chance to have a dominant queer alliance. 456.
I saw no gays people. Teamed up.
Oh, they did. Keep watching.
Oh, okay. Well, I heard I saw a tweet or something about how along the same like mentality of like, oh, all the gays finding their own little group of girl. Each gay finding a group of girls to be with.
Safe space.
Like a safe space in middle school.
Well, the whole time I was like, you think people are hooking up in the like showers and shit? And then I read online that they had given them condoms and that people's lips were chapped and they were using the greasy condom grease to rub on their lips.
I saw that too. And I have to ask, what is in a condom? What's going on?
Spermicide.
I can't be putting that on my lips.
Yeah, you probably have.
I probably should.
Wait, you do oral without a condom on?
I use a dental dam. I put any condom in my mouth, and then they
and you blow it up.
No, I submerge the length of the condom down my throat, so it's kind of just like a...
Can you demonstrate it right now? What's that sound like?
So it's like that? You open it, okay, and then you tuck it. You can throw it down in. You could use a carrot, a long carrot to push it down in.
Roll it out.
A pencil, a ruler, or whatever you need to do. So yeah, to roll it out. And yeah, and so it kind of just is easy breezy like that.
I love that for you. Congratulations.
Yeah, yeah. Were people having sex in the squid?
I didn't get to any of that, but I'm sure somebody did.
All right.
Okay. I would be looking for $4.56 million, but I'd also be looking for love.
Sure, why not? Two birds.
Hell yeah, brother.
Now, before we talk about anything else, we gotta give some love to our sponsor for today's episode, which is Apartments.com. Apartments.com has more rental listings than anywhere else, so finding the perfect place is easier than ever, and so is finally moving in together. Just the two of you. It's a big step. Lots of new responsibilities, lots of adjustments. Most likely, they'll wake you up at odd hours to go to the bathroom, and you'll most definitely find yourself in trouble coming home late for dinner, and they might even unroll all your toilet paper next time. It's just what happens when you two find a new place together. But you're not doing it because you feel like it. No, you're doing it because you love them. Because they're family. And that's why Apartments.com has more pet-friendly rental listings on the internet, so that you and your furry family can find the perfect new place together. Apartments.com, the place to find a pet-friendly place. Thank you so much, Apartments.com, for sponsoring this week's episode of the podcast. We love you here at Psychobabble. Now back to the gossip. Now, before we talk about anything else, we gotta give some love to our sponsor for today's episode, and that is Discover. Are you tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Thank you so much, Discover, for sponsoring this week's episode of the podcast. We love you here at Psychobabble. Now back to the gossip. We need to talk about the Spotify Wrapped.
Oh my god, Wrapped. I would love to. Listen, I'll go first since
go first. Are we doing artists or songs?
Well, I was just going to say that I have really done work over the last few years of muting and unfollowing anybody who shits on Wrapped Day. I saw one complaint this year. And I had to mute that person. I thought, I'm not letting people take my joy. Spotify Wrapped is one of my top 5 days of the year. Better than my birthday, better than Christmas.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. Do you find that this is a we now have the past, I don't know, almost decade of Spotify Wraps.
So I got them in a folder on my.
I really, if I were to search for them, I'm sure I could find them.
They go back to 16 was the first year they have. You can find them if you're a Spotify user. You can find all of them and create a folder and save them all if you want, which is what I did.
Okay, so top songs or top artists? What would you like to start with?
Baby, whatever you would like.
Let's talk top artists. Coming in at number five, who was your number five?
My number five was, you think I know off the top of my head.
So when you said you'll go first, hello, I'm ready.
My number five was Maggie Rogers, the one and only Queen of Queens.
Has she made a previous appearance?
Yeah, I think since her debut album in 2019? I think she's been in the top five every year since.
Okay. Then.
Got it on lock.
Are you going to go through all five? Yeah, go through all five in order. I would like to know.
Number five was Maggie Rogers. Number four was Holly Humberstone. Three, Carrie.
That's a name I've heard, and I think I've added songs, but I don't know any song. I couldn't, with a gun to my head, I couldn't be like, oh, their song is this.
Let me tell you, baby, I make my little tens playlist. I will share my Holly Humberstone 10. It is curated for the gods in order of. It just got a great progression.
Okay.
I will send it to you. I sent it to my friend Zach over the weekend, and he said, okay, you're right. I love all of this. Okay. Carrie Underwood was three. Carly Rae Jepsen was two. Taylor Swift was one.
Sorry, I couldn't even keep listening after your Carrie Underwood number three.
Yeah. Carly Rae Jepsen number two. Taylor
MAGA
Swift number
Queen.
Three.
MAGA Queen. Carrie Underwood. Who?
She's not MAGA. She's anti-vax.
Okay. Alrighty. And your number two was who?
CRJ.
Carly. Yes. Okay. And number one?
I had a lot of questions about Redacted being my number one.
I'm sorry. Is that who Redacted is? I thought Redacted was Redacted. I didn't know Redacted was Redacted.
Redacted was number one, but here's what I'll say.
What will you say? Well, of course, when you release 15 albums of your greatest hits in 1 year, people are going to have you at the top of their list.
I had a lot of questions in my DMs from podcast listeners.
I mean, is that not the reason? Probably more albums released this year and a movie than most other artists?
Oh, absolutely. But what I'll also say is, I've always said, I like her music, but I hate her fans. No offense. Self-loathing, baby.
Oh, my. Okay. Okay. Well, my number five, since you asked.
Let's hear it.
Erykah Badu.
Yes. You said you thought that might happen.
Yeah. Well, and I at first I thought, okay. I wonder if I know any songs. But then, because I told Hudson this, because Hudson always puts Erykah Badu on in the kitchen. And so I'm like, you know, like it's like making dinner music. But I actually, I think I do find I know a lot of her songs. So I was like, okay, well, you know what? Maybe I am a fan. Number four, Jungle.
That's the name of a group?
Well, I actually don't know if it's like a band or like if they're playing the instruments or if or like who how many people are in it or what.
Okay.
But you don't know, you haven't heard any Jungle? Yes, you have. Absolutely.
I'm sure I have. It sounds
familiar. Oh my God, Corey, this is exciting for you. Their new album, well, not new, I don't know how new it is, but the album that they very much blew up with this year. You would love it. You would love it. Jungle. Okay. I'll send it.
I'll find it.
Sade is number three, which makes sense to me. Captain and Tennille, number two, which very much makes sense to me. And number one, Earth, Wind, and Fire, which makes the ultimate sense to me.
Hey, one time when I was hanging out with this guy and going on a bunch of dates with him and I met some of his friends, we were all like hanging out at one of their places watching an award show or something, and they all started shitting on Earth, Wind, and Fire. And I literally,
how?
I know. And I literally was sitting there being like, how do I get out of this?
How could you shit on Earth, Wind, and Fire? I'm not joking when I say this. There is not a time or a moment where putting on Earth, Wind, and Fire won't be the correct move. There is no situation where it won't be crowd-pleasing, it won't lift your vibe, it won't set a smooth, calming energy to the room, but still be fun and upbeat. It is correct, always.
I literally had to sit there and be like, I want to leave. All these people have bad taste.
I stand by that. There's a reason they're my number one, and I was in the top 0.005% of listeners.
Well, what I was going to say was, everyone who was like had Taylor as their top had like thousands and thousands and thousands of minutes listened. I only had 1,500, and I have yet to see anyone's profile who had listened less to their number one artist, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. My friend, someone was showing me yesterday, their number one was like Miranda Lambert, and it was like 3,000. It was double.
I thought you were going to say Miranda Sings.
Miranda Cosgrove, honey. Miranda Cosgrove, honey.
How many minutes listened did you listen to this year?
I think it was like 33,000. It was low.
Mine was 102,000.
But well, you listen.
But
all
I listened
day.
To music all day during stream and all like evening yeah. after stream and yeah.
Mine, one of the slides was like, on August 23rd, you listened for, and it gave me the total minutes. And then I looked and it said it was 8 hours. And I'm like, how? I was like, I sometimes put on music while I'm working and I must have just had it on all day that day. That was strange for me.
What was your number one genre?
Pop. Mine were pop across the board. It was, contemporary country was in there too, but it was mostly pop.
Oh, you know what? I just looked at the top genres. My number one was tech house, which is interesting because I have no tech house in my top artists or in my top songs. But it's my number one genre because I listen to it the most. But I don't listen to anything more than a month. I don't listen to any tech house for more than a month. But all the top artists and top songs I listen to year round. Does that make sense?
I hear you.
Okay. Top songs from 5 to 1, go.
Love is Embarrassing by Olivia Rodrigo. It's so good. It's so good. Cruel Summer by Taylor Swift. Cocoon by Holly Humberstone. Out of That Truck by Carrie Underwood. And Muscle Memory by Kelsey Ballerini.
That is interesting stuff.
All of those songs are so good.
Mine is Bejo Interlude by Earth, Wind, and Fire at number 5, which is, I would say, an iconic song. I love to start streams with that song on Sundays because we do Sunday Funday, which is like 70s music and bingo. And that's the perfect like welcome screen song. It's very like welcome and it's like groovy and build up and like I love it. Number 4, Love Will Keep Us Together by Captain and Tennille. You know that one?
Love
will keep us together. I am telling you what, Captain and Tennille, they really were delivering in a way that Sonny and Cher, I think, were really, you know, the blueprint, but Captain and Tennille were given Sonny and Cher without people telling us that Sonny, they had the same legacy as Sonny and Cher, in my retrospective assessment. Number three, 59th Street Bridge Song, Feeling Groovy by Simon and Garfunkel. You know that one?
Sure don't.
Feeling groovy. It goes, hello lamppost, what you knowin'? I've come to watch your flowers growing. We sang it in sixth grade in choir, and it was, and I really loved it. Also, a song that I like to start stream to on Sundays. It's like a nice peaceful.
You know, my response to all of this is I'm glad you find such joy in music, not the flabbergast you gave me.
Well, girl, the flabbergast is I need to hear some of these, like the Kelsea Ballerini. I trust your judgment on that. The Hubert Humberstone, I need to listen to that.
And then Humberstone.
What's her name? Patty Poundcake, or I don't fucking know. Hubert. What's her name?
Holly.
Hubert Cumberdale. You know Hubert Cumberdale?
I know.
Do you know Hubert Cumberdale?
I know Humperdink.
Skidamarinkadinkadink?
No.
My number two was Make Your Own Kind of Music, Cass Elliot.
Yeah.
And then my number one song garnered
a religious take.
Yeah, so I understand if you have... If you've been saving up all of your judgment to send my way for one of my selections, it's this. I loved this song. I loved this song when I was a young Christian boy. Lord, I lift your name on high. From heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my dead of faith. From the cross to the grave. From the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name. So anyway, I like that song. And then sometimes I'd be like, you know what I kind of want to listen to right now? And I would put it on, and I would put it on during stream, and I'd be like, y'all can't deny that it's good. It's a bop. And somebody was in that writer's room, and they should have Grammys, is what I'm saying.
How many listens?
Well, hold on. Before I say that, so then it became this whole bit during stream, and that I had to.
Oh, you were just joshing for the stream.
I was joshing for the stream. So at first I liked it, and then it became a bit that I had to perform if somebody redeemed it.
Oh, were you doing a skit for the bit?
I was doing a skit for the bit. So if somebody redeemed it, I had to go in my Spotify and push it. I should have, in retrospect, I should have just made it a button on my soundboard so that it wouldn't count every performance of the bit as a listen. And now it's my top played song of the year, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High, with 84 listens.
You know, I am going to need you to... I'll send you the link, and all you do is you like type it in and you just change the year in your browser, and then it'll take you to the Spotify from that year. But I'm going to need to see a rundown of all of yours, because in 2016, wasn't it that Iggy Azalea song? So, like, what's going on?
What do you mean? What's there to ask? What do you mean, what's going on?
I'm so...
Fancy.
Fancy. Yeah, yeah. So
you
fancy.
Mean it was a Charlie XCX song. Okay, thank you.
Oh, was it?
Well, I think she was there.
Who was the featured bill?
Clueless.
Okay, well, you are so fancy. So keep my muscle memory out of your mouth.
How does muscle memory go? Oh, I just know it's slow. Your number one song of the year is a slow song?
It's not. It's actually upbeat.
It's actually upbeat.
And it's from like 3 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, music sucked this year.
Yeah, well... Only 9 songs from my top 100 songs of the year were from this decade.
This decade?
Were from this century.
I counted mine too. 52 were songs that came out this year, which is low.
The problem low is I only listen to, like, my go-to is to put on my 70s playlist. And that never gets new updates. That never gets new songs added to it.
I'm
compared
sure I
to my other
you,
playlists.
I'm sure I could give you some 70 songs.
I would love. Playlist. I do add new stuff to it. When I discover new stuff, but like it definitely gets way fewer updates and changes than any other playlist that I listen to.
That's fair. That's fair.
So yeah. So that's the Spotify
Wrapped.
No, that's it.
The last thing I was gonna say, because I didn't post it. What did you get for your little? It's like your personality type one.
Oh, I didn't even look at it. As soon as I realized that that's what it was doing, I was like, I don't care about this.
I didn't see another person who had mine. It said I was an alchemist, and it said I create and make more playlists than most people.
That makes sense to me because you do.
Yeah, honey, I got a list for every mood.
I'm loading mine now.
Do you think I should? Maybe I'll just. Maybe next year, one day a week, I'll share one of my tens, and then I'll ask people to reply with their tens of that artist if they like that artist. And then we'll just see. And it'll be like Wrapped all year round, honey.
This says I listened to 7,221 different artists this year. That's a lot.
That's a lot, yeah.
Which makes me feel like my most listened songs are going to be low amount of numbers. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't listen to something. I only hyperfixate on like 10 songs a year. And so like that really fucks up my algorithm. Anyway, my genre, or what is it called?
It was like your personality. Are you watching your slideshow?
Yeah.
It's like the third or fourth from the very end.
The way you listen this year makes you a hero or an anti-hero. Tap to reveal. I'm a mastermind. Knowledge is power, which makes you powerful indeed, as you like to study a wide range of music.
Damn, okay. They were right. You're a mastermind.
That's so true.
Hey, where did it tell you should move?
I don't know.
You're so bad. Did you even watch yours?
I kind of did, but I was like, what are you talking about? Just tell me things that I want to post a picture of. Like, show me a chart. Don't tell me I should move to Cambridge. What does that even mean?
I thought it was funny. It told me I should go to Scottsdale. So, hey, any Scottsdale hotties, hit me up.
There was a guy in my neighborhood in middle school named with the AOL screen named Scotty Too Hottie.
Damn, was he?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty. Let's just say I thought it was bold of him to take that username.
No, I just think.
My place is San Francisco, USA.
Well,
people
it's a
there
sign.
Like LPGOB, Channel Trey, and Polo and Pan, like me.
It's a sign. Okay. Don't you find that people who are named Scotty, they're always like trying to be like that? It's just like the people whose name
give it up.
It's just like the people whose name's Nancy, and they're always like Nancy Pants.
What? Have you ever met a Nancy? Reagan? Was Nancy Reagan really given that gluck gluck?
Nancy Reagan's screen name was also Nancy Pants. Every
Nancy Reagan's screen name was Throat Girl. Throat Girl.
Every
oval float girl. Throat Girl. Oval Office Throat Girl 2.
Who was the girl one?
Martha Washington! The blueprint!
That was before they made them exchange like Twitter handles like they do now.
Exchange? Oh, like a passing of the guard or whatever.
Passing of the POTUS handle.
Passing of the password.
Yes.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Is it time to talk about Drag Race UK?
Yeah, but you gotta go quick, honey.
Well, what's there to say? I liked it.
In one weekend instead of watching it weekly like I suffered through.
I suffered? You didn't like the season?
No, I did like it. I actually liked it a lot.
I liked the season. I thought... a lot of really likable characters, but what it really came across to me was like it felt very like a sweep. Like, okay, from here on out, we are going to say results. So if you don't want to hear any results, get out now. I don't want to hear that we spoiled it. Fuck off. It's over.
I've never heard that.
I've never heard it either. But I'm telling people, the people. Ginger Johnson, I liked from the start, but like I was kind of. She kind of flew under the radar for a second, but was safe every week or won every week. So like 6 safes, 4 wins. That's
four
like,
wins is a lot of wins.
That well, with the final one counting as a win. But to me, the season kind of felt like a Bob the Drag Queen or a Sasha Colby season, where it was like, okay, well, nobody else is really a contender slash the other contenders. Like, of course I want queens like Michael Mulruly to thrive in this environment, but when the prompt is who is the future of drag, I have a hard time thinking that a queen like Michael Mulruly, who is talented and who is able to complete the challenges with like finesse and with like humor and finished looks and all of that, I don't know if they meet the brief of who is the future of drag. And that is no disrespect, but it's just a matter of fact of like, who can you see the franchise wanting to crown based on like how we have seen queens be crowned in the past? So like when I see that she is the only real contender against Ginger Johnson, like in the end, it kind of is like, well, the writing's a little on the wall unless something kooky happens.
You didn't think Tamara stood a chance?
No, I didn't. Wow. I loved her. I thought she was hilarious. But I found that... I mean this with all love because I think she is great. But to me, she's a little like Alyssa Edwards where it's like squawking.
Yeah.
And yes, we're laughing. Like we are laughing and it's fun. And I'm sure she's like, she would be incredible to go see live. And I will say this, she can fucking dance and lip sync. So like she delivered. But I think I kind of got an impression that she's that some queens who can just squawk and RuPaul will laugh don't necessarily have to be clever with it. Like I don't know. I guess I just want a little bit more intention. And maybe there was intention, and maybe it gets overshadowed by like everyone laughing at everything that a magnetic personality is able to do. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, girl, there's a reason you are like Tamara Thomas is a star. No matter how she would deliver that stardom, drag just happens to be how she's decided to deliver the stardom, and I support that because like what a gift to all of us. But like I also like a little bit of I want twists to every outfit. I want a little bit of elevated humor as opposed to like with that said,
squawking.
This was one of the only finales I can remember in a long time where I really loved all three of the finalists, where I was like, you know what? However this could pan out, I would be happy for each person if they won.
Yeah, I felt very much that same way.
Which is a good feeling. And I'm like, that is, I want everyone to succeed, and I want everyone to come across how they want to come across, and like not feel frustrated in competition. Like, I want the experience to be good for everyone. I was bummed to see Banksy go so early. I was like, I really wanted to see more of Banksy. I thought, like, if there's somebody who will turn the corner on a runway who I, like, am excited to see their interpretation,
yes,
that's who I would rather have stick around in the competition. Not somebody who's, like, got the body yaddy yaddy, and it's like, okay, cool, I guess. Like, you can adorn your form. But, like, I like a bit of, I don't know, I want cleverness in your look or your interpretation of the look. And some of these queens were really not given that. I was bummed by Kate Butch, because I could see the experience of her understanding in real time, like, ugh, they're really taking into consideration fashion. Yeah. And I'm like, but I'm like, well, there have been 30 Drag Race seasons that have proven that they care about fashion. Like, I don't, it's not coming as a surprise. With that said, I'm like, I understand the frustration, because I'm like, certainly there's queens, many queens who are wanting to be entertainers and performers, and not want, they understand that they're not fashion queens. So like, why try to make the shoe fit if it doesn't fit? So like, that would probably be so frustrating. I don't know. I thought there were a lot of queens where it's like, oh, they'll be great on All Stars.
Yeah. I was really happy with the season. I completely agree with what you said. I was really happy about the final three, and was like, whoever.
And also, Tamara Thomas getting eliminated in the finale, unable to lip sync. Well, because she would have ate the fucking lip sync. What was the lip sync song? Was it something she would have ate? Regardless, I was like, oh, I feel like they do that a lot in the finale, where the queen who could really turn it out but has been underperforming the rest of the season doesn't get a chance to turn it out.
Yeah.
I did love the surprise in the finale, the like the people coming, they're like their loved ones surprising them.
Oh, yeah, that was fun. That was a new way to like update the TikTok chat, which I loved.
In general, I thought it was a good season. I thought, yes, why not? I thought it was also interesting, like, Ginger Johnson figured out Drag Race, understood all the assignments, and came prepared. And so it really is like, if you understand the show and you know how to prepare for the show, you shouldn't have any problem. Yeah. And I feel like that we are in a era of Drag Race now where people can really, if you want to win it, you can study how to win it, and then execute it if you have the money. But like you can execute it if you prepare. And I think my frustration is some of these queens didn't really feel like they prepared for some of the stuff.
That's what I say about all of them now. I'm like, they're doing the same challenges over and over. How are you not coming with a verse pre-written for a song, or at least notes of a like verse of what you would
want? Or how are you not writing down reads, because you know you're gonna have to read, girls?
Well, that's what I said. I would be writing down a read every night when I got back to the hotel room the second I met them. Certainly you need to meet them all and see them, but I would be mentally thinking of reads for them all day long, for so that I was prepared for the reading challenge when we got there.
Yes.
Well, we did.
Yeah, another successful season of Drag Race, and I hope I say all that with love and respect, because drag is like an impossible art form that is like so, it is all encompassing of all these different elements of entertainment and fashion and style and makeup and comedy and blah 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 blah. And so like there, I applaud anyone who has the vulnerability to be on the show. I say the things that I say out of love and of reality as well, or reality TV as well. Okay, I'm going to start Drag Race Canada next. So
good,
no
luck.
Spoilers. Thanks. Is that everything? Is there anything else you need to talk about?
That's all, baby.
Okay, where can people find you?
You can find me skitting for the bit, honey.
Skitting for the bit. Is that kind of like...
Piggy for the pod.
Well, it's Josh and for the pod, but is it piggy for the piggy? What is it? The piggy lickins for the piggy or pokey?
Kitty Lickens?
What is that?
In this like, economy?
The girl who's talking about that animal who's licking out of the water, maybe? Or pity picky-picky-purgy.
Oh, a piggy purgy
piggy purgy derby. What is that?
I tried to talk about it 2 weeks ago, and you said, oh, everybody knows that.
Yeah, I know, but what was it?
Piggy dipping in the piggy pond.
That's what it is. Piggy dipping for the piggy in the piggy pond.
Piggy like dipping in the piggy pond.
Bitten for the skit, like joshing for the pod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Piggy dipping.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Tyler Oakley. Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Fridays, Sundays.
Hey, baby.
Hey. Bye.